This episode of the Children's Literature Podcast is brought to you by Children's Music Recitals. Children's Music Recitals. You'll never clap harder after hearing a violin go, Welcome to the Children's Literature Podcast. I'm your host, TQ Townsend. This episode is about the music of Anne of Green Gables. Last week, I had some fun talking about why Anne Shirley was so obsessed with puffed sleeves. Anne of Green Gables by Lucy Maud Montgomery was published in 1908, but it's set a few decades earlier. The author meticulously recreated the world of the 1880s. Putting in lots of references to fashion, politics, teen trends, and popular culture. Modern readers may not understand the significance of a lot of these references, but luckily that doesn't stop anybody from enjoying the timeless plot about a clever, imaginative young girl who grows up and figures out who she is. Still, if you can learn a little bit about the historical references, it'll make you love this novel all the more. Singing and music is mentioned frequently in Anne of Green Gables, but only three songs are specifically named. And they're all real songs, which were very popular in the 1880s, even if some of them were written a decade or two before this time. The songs mentioned by name in Anne of Green Gables have several things in common. They're all sentimental ballads, and they were all very well known by young people in the late 19th century. They're also all written by American composers and published from Tin Pan Alley Music Production Companies in New York. So this shows that while this story is set in a very rural, out-of-the-way part of Canada, it was still plugged into a pop culture scene that was growing ever more global. Like all of the references in Anne of Green Gables, the mention of the song My Home on the Hill is slipped naturally into the dialogue. "I'm so sorry for people who live in lands where there are no Mayflowers," said Anne. "Diana says perhaps they have something better, but there couldn't be anything better than Mayflowers, could there, Marilla? And Diana says if they don't know what they are like, they don't miss them. But I think that's the saddest thing of all. I think it would be tragic, Marilla, not to know what Mayflowers are like and not to miss them. Do you know what I think Mayflowers are, Marilla? I think they must be the soul of flowers that died last summer, and this is their heaven. But we had a splendid time today, Marilla. We had our lunch down in a big mossy hollow by an old well. Such a romantic spot. Charlie Sloane dared Artie Gillis to jump over it, and Artie did because he wouldn't take a dare. Nobody would in school. It is very fashionable to dare. Mr. Phillips gave all the Mayflowers he found to Prissy Andrews, and I heard him say, 'Sweets to the sweet.' He got that out of a book, I know, but it shows he has some imagination. I was offered some Mayflowers too, but I rejected them with scorn. I can't tell you the person's name, because I have vowed never to let it cross my lips. We made wreaths of the Mayflowers and put them on our hats. And when the time came to go home, we marched in procession down the road, two by two, with our bouquets and wreaths, singing My Home on the Hill. Oh, it was so thrilling, Marilla. All Mr. Silas Sloane's folks rushed out to see us, and everybody we met on the road stopped and stared after us. We made a real sensation. Not much wonder. Such silly things," was Marilla's response. This scene shows that My Home on the Hill was a song that was well known enough that all the kids were able to sing it together on a whim. The song was written by W.C. Baker and was published in 1866. I've not been able to discover much more about this composer except that there are a few songs under this name published between 1860 and 1870. All of the songs were, unsurprisingly, sentimental ballads. Another real song referenced in Anne of Green Gables is Far Above the Gentle Daisies. It's mentioned in Chapter 19 when Anne attends an evening variety show before getting to have a sleepover at Diana's house. The program that night was a series of thrills for at least one listener in the audience. And, as Anne assured Diana, every succeeding thrill was thrillier than the last. when Prissy Andrews, attired in a new pink silk waist with a string of pearls about her smooth white throat and real carnations in her hair, rumor whispered that the master had sent all the way to town for them for her, climbed the slimy ladder, dark without one ray of light, and shivered in luxurious sympathy. When the choir sang, "Far above the gentle daisies," Anne gazed at the ceiling as if it were frescoed with angels. When Sam Sloane proceeded to explain and illustrate how Sockery set a hen, Anne laughed until people sitting near her laughed too, more out of sympathy with her than with amusement at a selection that was rather threadbare even in Avonlea. And when Mr. Phillips gave Mark Antony's oration over the dead body of Caesar in the most heart-stirring tones, looking at Prissy Andrews at the end of every sentence, Anne felt that she could rise and mutiny on the spot if but one Roman citizen led the way. Only one number on the program failed to interest her. When Gilbert Blythe recited Bingen on the Rhine, Anne picked up Rhoda Murray's library book and read it until he had finished, when she sat rigidly stiff and motionless while Diana clapped her hands until they tingled. Oh, Anne, when will you ever forgive poor Gilbert? Anyway, Far Above the Daisies was a very popular tune first published in 1869. The lyrics are by George Cooper, and the music is by Harrison Millard, a very famous and successful American composer. He wrote both secular and sacred music and is best remembered as the author of the tune "Abide With Me, 'Tis Eventide." Millard served with distinction in the American Civil War and also wrote a patriotic ballad that Abraham Lincoln liked so much that he offered Millard a government job. Far Above the Daisies was dedicated to Jenny H. Weston. I wasn't able to find any information about who Jenny was or why such a song would be dedicated to her, and I wish there was a way to learn that story. However, the most important song, at least if you ask me, is Nellie in the Hazel Dell. This is a song that Anne learns in Chapter 12, as Marilla involuntarily finds out. "Well, did you find Diana a kindred spirit?" asked Marilla as they went up through the garden of Green Gables. "Oh, yes," sighed Anne, blissfully unconscious of any sarcasm on Marilla's part. "Oh, Marilla, I'm the happiest girl on Prince Edward Island this very moment. I assure you I'll say my prayers with a right good will tonight. Diana and I are going to build a playhouse in Mr. William Bell's birch grove tomorrow. Can I have those broken pieces of china that are out in the woodshed? Diana's birthday is in February and mine is in March. Don't you think that is a very strange coincidence? Diana's going to lend me a book to read. She says it's perfectly splendid and tremendously exciting. She's going to show me a place back in the woods where rice lilies grow. Don't you think Diana has got very soulful eyes? I wish I had soulful eyes. Diana's going to teach me to sing a song called Nellie in the Hazel Dell. She's going to give me a picture to put up in my room. It's a perfectly beautiful picture, she says. A lovely lady in a pale blue silk dress. A sewing machine agent gave it to her. I wish I had something to give to Diana. I'm an inch taller than Diana, but she's ever so much fatter. She says she'd like to be thin because it's so much more graceful, but I'm afraid she only said it to soothe my feelings. We're going to the shore someday to gather shells. We've agreed to call the spring down by the log bridge the Dryad's Bubble. Isn't that a perfectly elegant name? I read a story once about a spring called that. A dryad is a sort of grown-up fairy, I think." "Well, all I hope is you won't talk Diana to death," said Marilla. "But remember this in all your planning, Anne. You're not going to play all the time, nor most of it. You'll have your work to do, and it'll have to be done first." Nellie in the Hazel Dell was written in 1852 by the American composer George Root. Root was a serious composer of orchestral and choral music, but he also knew that writing sentimental and comedic popular music would make him good money. So in order to cash in on pop songs while preserving his highbrow reputation, he used the pseudonym Wurzel, German for root, when publishing songs like Nellie in the Hazel Dell. This song is the theme music for this podcast. I chose it not just because it's referenced in one of the greatest books ever written, but also because the characters who sing this song do so to start off a wonderful friendship. Diana Barry teaches this song to Anne Shirley as the first of many gifts, and Anne cherishes it because, as the passage I read shows, she's blown away by the fact that she not only now has a home, but a friend. Here's a very quick rendition of Nellie and the Hazel Dell. The vocals have been double-tracked so that you can imagine what it might sound like when Anne and Diana sang it together.
In the hazel dell my Nellie's sleeping, Nellie loved so long, and my lonely, lonely watch I'm keeping, Nellie lost and gone. Here in moonlight often have we wandered through the silent shade. Now where leafy branches drooping downward, little Nellie's laid. All alone my watch I'm keeping in the hazel dell, for my darling Nellie's near me sleeping. Nellie, dear, farewell. In the hazel dell my Nellie's sleeping, where the flowers wave, and the silent stars are nightly weeping o'er poor Nellie's grave. Hopes that once my bosom fondly cherished smile no more for me. Every dream of joy, alas, has perished, Nellie, dear, with thee. All alone my watch I'm keeping in the hazel dell, for my darling Nellie's near me sleeping. Nellie, dear, farewell. Now I'm weary, friendless, and forsaken, watching here alone. Nellie, thou no more will fondly cheer me with thy loving tone. Yet forever shall thy gentle image in my memory dwell, and my tears thy lonely grave shall moisten. Nellie, dear, farewell. All alone my watch I'm keeping in the hazel dell, for my darling Nellie's near me sleeping. Nellie, dear, farewell.
I'd like to work up some more polished versions of the songs in Anne of Green Gables and other children's books. Many wonderful songs that are mentioned in great works of literature are barely known today. Some of them don't even seem to be available as recordings, although scans of old sheet music can be found in various university library archives. If you have any interest in helping me to bring these songs back to life, let me know. It would be nice to work with some kindred spirits to rediscover music that gave Anne Shirley and so many other wonderful literary figures a thrill. You've been listening to the Children's Literature Podcast. Please subscribe and give the show a rating. Send comments to letters@childrensliteraturepodcast.com. I'm your host, TQ Townsend. Thanks for listening.